Hello, Audio Journal listeners. In place of our regularly scheduled programming, we bring you the following program brought to you by Audio Journal.
The opinions expressed on the ACB Media Network are those of the content providers and should not be viewed as an endorsement of any product or service. Nor does it reflect the views of the American Council of the Blind, its elected officials, or its staff.
Welcome in. Take my hand. Say hello to who you know and who you don't and who you can. We'll give promise to your springtime and beginnings to your ends. We'll try not to be cautious, we'll be friends.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Visibilities on May 29th, 2026. This year is flying by somehow. I want to welcome all of you here in the Zoom room with us tonight. We have a good number of people here, and I'm sure we have quite a few on ACB Media One, and the podcast will be available within the next day or so. And then we also do the repeats throughout the week on ACB Media One. I want to first thank Monica for hosting for us tonight and Herbie for streaming for us this evening. And I want to thank those who have joined us from many of our affiliates. Some of our affiliates, I wanted to have kind of the newer presidents on, but sometimes it's just better, I think, to have any of the affiliate presidents, be it state or special interest, just so that we all kind of know what's going on in the various affiliates. There are people who are on the calls who might not be aware of an affiliate that they may find of great interest and decide that they want to join. And all of that. So I really wanted to see this as an information and membership development, if you will, call this evening. And we're going to have I think we're going to have someone else on. I think someone's coming on about the ACB Awards, but I have not been able to confirm that. So if I miss anyone, please don't hesitate to speak up. The first person, excuse me, before we get started, I want to tell you something. I just started a book today on Bard. Hard to believe, since I read about four books a week at least. And it's called Wings, The Story of Band on the Run, which, you know, many of us remember Paul McCartney and Wings and all of that. It's probably a good book. I've only gotten through the beginning, but I think it's something that the first part of it is a foreword that is recorded by Paul McCartney. And it's just, it really struck me that it's him in 2025 looking back over the last 50 years plus and kind of putting an amazing amount of things into perspective that really apply to all of us that can look back 50 years and those who are not looking back quite that many years. But I just thought that it was just a really nice philosophy and some really good little statements in it. So if you're looking for the book at all, it's DB134456. And now I'll get back to the real world here. And so the first person that I was going to ask to speak about ACB of Colorado, for starters, is Artis Bazin. She is vice president of Colorado now. We all still think of Artis as California, but that is no more so. Artis, hi.
Yes.
There you are. Tell us about ACB of Colorado these days.
Okay. The Colorado Council of the Visually Impaired and Blind is trying to build up. We're a very small affiliate. We barely qualify as an affiliate since you're only allowed to get down to 13 members before, you know, they don't allow you to be represented. And this year we had 14 members. So we're trying to get more. And the national office has been helpful. Cindy sends us people that have signed up for different things from Colorado, and we contact them and add them to our contact list. But even the ones that allow us to be added to our contact list, we get very few that, you know, decide they want to join. And so, you know, it's a tough call. But so it's, you know, our, you know, main goal here is just to get more people coming to our monthly calls. We have calls once a month, and we tend to only get 6 or 7 people to come. And so we're trying to get more people to come. And we're going to have election of officers in August. And so then perhaps we can, you know, set more goals and maybe decide what other efforts we can do to bring up our membership.
Yeah, because there was a time when Colorado was, it was a wealthy and good-sized affiliate, as you and I both remember back in the day.
Right. I remember when Mary McDonald was president, and there were quite a few chapters, and they had, you know, 300 or 400 members. But it's unfortunately they switched to being a service organization for a number of years, and then they decided to become an affiliate again about 5 years ago. So, but since then they've really struggled. So we're just trying to get it to be more active. And if people are listening and they're from Colorado, they can definitely contact me and we can try to get them involved.
And if anybody is for any of the people that we have on this evening, please don't hesitate to send me an email. And everybody knows that it's not my personal one, it's my visibilities one, which is visibilities, V as in Victor, ISABILITIES. It's like disabilities with a V, 50@gmail.com. And I will put you in touch with whoever you need to speak with. All right. And so while we're on the same general subject, you have some tough affiliates to work with. They've hit some really tough times in the past few years. And, primarily because of COVID. And that's RSVA, the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America. Why don't you give us an update on what's going on with RSVA?
Yes, we've lost a lot of members in the last 5 or 6 years. We lost a lot because of COVID. A lot of locations were closed because of COVID, and some have reopened, but they're smaller. And we've also had a lot of competition with the NABM, which is the Blind Vendors of NFB. And so that's kind of hurt the affiliate as well. But it's been a tough road, and trying to get more vendors involved is difficult because vendors are busy people, and trying to get them to be on the board and, you know, more involved is hard. So if any vendor is listening and they'd like to know more about RSVA, there again, they can contact me or our president, Scott Egan from Minnesota. And we'd be glad to.
Thank you. I couldn't remember how to pronounce his last name.
No problem. Because we have lots of things we do. I mean, we do a monthly call-in, which we do send oftentimes to the list, especially if it's a speaker that would be of interest to more than just vendors. And so we do that monthly call, and then we have two conferences, Sagebrush, and then also at the national conference we have events. So anybody wants to learn more about those, you know, they can feel free to contact us. And that we do have a business email address. It's rsva@randolph-shepherd.org.
And remind them how to spell Shepherd. I always forget. I always have to double check myself. And I was, and God knows I was involved with it for many years.
Okay, Shepherd is S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Randolph and Shepherd were the two that co-founded the Randolph Shepherd Act 90 years ago. And so that's where the organization name came from.
Very good. Okay, and RSVA still has a website, I believe?
Yes, and it's randolph-shepherd.org.
Very cool. So there's probably a lot more information on there that people could take a look at.
Oh, definitely. It's a big website. There's lots of information. And we have segments from the last several Sagebrushes on there. So if you want to listen to those sessions, you can do that.
Very good. Sagebrush is a great experience. I sort of ran Sagebrush 1 year. That was enough for me. That was a busy bit. I think it was back in 2010 or something.
Yeah, I remember that.
You remember? We were out in Marino, I think it was. And Kim and I found this cocktail lounge that had, what the heck were those things? Pomegranate martinis. They became the drink of the year that year, it seemed.
No, it's a good conference, and it's a good networking opportunity for vendors. So
it is. That's a great opportunity, Sagebrush. And there's still a lot of good things that you do at the ACB conference and convention. So people, which is just a brief reminder that registration is now open for members of ACB. And take a look at what's going on in all of the affiliates at it. Now, I always end up having to make up my own calendar to keep track of where I'm going to be when, or what I want to listen to when, or what have you. All right. And I know you've got one more artist, but I think I'll hold that one for a little bit later.
No problem.
And,
thank you.
And Larray. Larray.
Hello.
Hi there. And Larray is president of the South Dakota affiliate.
South Dakota Association of the Blind actually was formed as an alumni association of our School for the Blind back in 1928. And then I don't know the exact timeline, but at some point they had joined the NFB. And in 1961, anybody who knows ACB's history knows that ACB started in 1961 when a group of people walked across the street from wherever they were meeting and said, we're going to form our own organization. And Dale Allman was one of those people.
Yes.
And he was from South Dakota. And he was very instrumental in getting a lot of us as young 20-somethings involved in going to national conventions. So I've been in and out of SDAB for years, over the years.
He was actually one of the first people I met at my first convention, which was in Grand Rapids in 79.
I was
Del Amon.
I was there. I was there, but I don't remember meeting you. But anyway, I went.
It was in MJ's. There was a bunch of women that had a suite together.
MJ. MJ was one of those people. I remember her. She was a neat lady. Neat lady. We have struggled over the years and been up and down as far as members and numbers and so on. And after COVID, or actually before COVID, we had decided to have a convention type program 1 year, and then the following year have more of a smaller program and call it a membership meeting and just focus on issues and topics and not do as many hands-on, games and going places and whatever. Mm-hmm. And we had started that before COVID.
Your default speaker has changed to AirPods Max.
The library downtown here in Sioux Falls. And one of those years we met, I can't remember where else we met at a couple different places. And then COVID hit, of course. And with Zoom, we decided to make the every other year a Zoom meeting and then the opposite years, a convention. So this is our convention year. And we're going to Aberdeen, South Dakota in September the 18th and 19th. And we're still making those plans, but the dates are set. And we're looking forward to that. In between times, we also have a monthly call, which is a peer support call the third Monday of each month. And a year ago or so, we started a book club. And I guess I can't really think of anything else.
Do you have a website?
We do have a website that's needs to be updated. It's not up to date right at the moment. But we have a mailing address, SDAB Box 1622. Sioux Falls, that's S-I-O-U-X, Falls, South Dakota, 57101-1622. And President, I'm trying to remember my president's email address. I think you could email in. If you need to get a hold of me by email Terry, because I can't think of, there's a SDAB president email address, and then there's another email address, and I know we don't want to give our personal ones, so.
Right.
Anyway, if anybody needs to get a hold of me, contact me through Terry or Cindy.
All right. Very good. Let me ask. No, I see a hand raised, which is good. Blaine.
He's going to come to my rescue.
I am. Do you want me to give the president email, Larry?
Sure. I almost asked you to do that. He's on our board.
Larry's president email is sdabpresident@gmail.com.
That's what I thought, but, I... sdabpresident@gmail.com, and that will get to me.
All right, great. Very good. Well, let's hope we find a few South Dakotans. All people, I think.
That's what we call them, South Dakotans.
Very good. Let me ask now, is there anyone else here who is a president or would like to speak on behalf of an affiliate? If so, would you please raise your hand right now? I would very much appreciate that. And I'm not seeing anyone else right now. Is there someone here from the scholarship or awards committees? If you could raise your hands, that would be good as well. Because I know they were going to be here. Especially awards. Scholarship is going up next week. All right. Anyone else that wants to, that has an affiliate they want to talk about, or the ACB Awards Committee or the ACB Scholarship Committee, please raise your hand and we'll call on you as soon as we see your hand raised. In the meanwhile, Artis, you've got one more affiliate that you're, always going with. Isn't it too bad our artist has nothing more to do?
Yeah. Well, I'm multitask, you know. I know they say that's really not a way to save time, but, you know, sometimes I do it anyway. Okay, Ivy. Ivy actually has increased its membership the last few days. Last few years, it's steadily increased. The biggest issue Ivy has, though, is keeping members. It seems like, you know, we get new members because they come to convention and they sign up then. And we have with our donation, we give the membership for the following year. And so that helps. And then we also do expos in the summer, and we do an online one in the fall. So that brings in new members because we charge the fee, $10 for members, $25 for non-members, but we allow that extra $15 to go for membership if they wish us to put it to membership. So we've gotten a lot of members from that.
And so you're talking about people to display at the expo.
Right, that's correct.
Not to attend it.
Oh,
right.
No, they can attend it for free. Yeah, anyone can come, and we encourage people to come. So we've gotten membership that way. Our biggest problem is getting people willing to get involved. I mean, we get some members that'll attend some of our monthly calls. We have an entrepreneur exchange call each month, and we actively recruit topics from people who come to our discussion calls or who come to some of the calls. We'll ask them for topics that they really want to hear about. So we always listen to some of their requests and follow up with those. And we, put in articles about our members in our quarterly newsletter, which is for members only. And so we've gotten, members because of that avenue, and members, some of them are retained, but we lose some each year, it seems like. Sometimes people join because they're interested in starting a business, but then they decide they don't want to start a business, so then they'll drop off. But we're actually up to 44 members this year, so we're actually going to be able to have two votes.
That is a good number. That's an increase for you, definitely.
Yeah, we haven't had two votes for probably, I don't know, several years. That's good. The downside is we'd like to have more people get more involved, be in leadership. And our treasurer resigned in January. So I appointed Jeremy Johansson is our current treasurer, but we'll need a vote at our annual meeting to for treasurer and then a board position because he was on the board. So I really would like to get more members really wanting to participate in the leadership because, we try our best to do IV things for people. But, the more involvement we can get, the more opportunities people can share their talents and also give us more ideas. So that's our biggest goal.
True.
That's our biggest goal for
us. Well, I'm so glad to hear that Jeremy's involved. That's great. I've known Jeremy. I think he was treasurer at that time of National Alliance of Blind Students back way back in the early 2000s even. And that,
right. Yeah, I've known Jeremy for years because of I was active with the students when, you know, when I became a student and stayed involved for a number of years and a lot. And now I'm an advisor again, but it's important for people to know about IV because I know we have lots of people who are independent contractors and business owners, but they haven't joined IV. So I'd like to encourage more to do so. I think one of the problems we have is we just have so many special interest affiliates. And when people are interested in a lot of different things, then they don't know if they want to join another group.
You mean like those of us like me that's a life member of five affiliates? Not to mention the other four.
Yeah, I know. I'm a member of several affiliates too. And it's tough because, you know, each affiliate would like to have leadership, and you can only be leadership in, you know, so many things, and you get, you know, burned out. So I'd like to, you know, encourage people that are listening to join IV, or if you are an IV.
Remind them what IV stands for.
Sure. Independent Visually Impaired Entrepreneurs. So it's another entrepreneur group like RSVA, but RSVA is more focused on the Rendell Shepherd program, whereas IV is any business owner can participate. And we do have our own email name, and it's info@ivie-acb.org if you want to learn more. And we also do have
do it again, you know, info@ivie-acb.org.
That's our email address.
You don't have an at in there. Something's wrong.
Yeah, info@
Oh, info I-V-I-E. At. I'm sorry. Okay. My brain jumped over the one right
no,
there.
No problem. And actually, all three affiliates that I've been representing tonight, all of them do have an email list that anyone can sign up to. RSVA has an announce list. IV has an email list that for anyone, and also does Colorado. So if you want to know how to sign up for those email lists, just let me know.
All right. And IV is, it's always been a good affiliate, not a huge one, but it's been good. And it reminds me of something that I think would make sense. See what you think. That some people need to kind of co-mingle with other affiliates. Sometimes that can be a good thing. I'm thinking about how many people, for instance, how many people are in BITS who are private contractors or have a technology business of some description, you know, that might also be involved, be interested in something like IV. You know,
yeah,
or somebody that's in IV that might be interested in guide dog users. You know, I think there needs to be a lot of interaction between our affiliates.
Yeah, IV and RSVA have been doing that for a couple of years. I think this is the third year in a row that IV and RSVA have had a joint luncheon because each were having less participants in the luncheon. So now we tend to have a business type speaker that can relate to both groups. And and we've got a couple of joint sessions, you know, on entrepreneurship that both of the groups that we're doing together. So I think I agree with you. I think more affiliates could, especially special interest affiliates, could do joint events at the national convention. And I think quite a few of them do. BRL and library users, they have a few things together. And the students and the next gen of a few things that they're doing together. So I think some are doing it. And I agree with you, though. the more we try to do that, I think the better off it is for all of our affiliates. And I think state affiliates could work more with special interest affiliates too, like at their state convention, invite members that are part of special interest affiliates, because I think states could get more members if they would, work with special interest affiliates. And
I know there are some that do that. I know Bay State used, I don't know if they still have a, they used to have a GDUM. Guide Dog Users of Massachusetts, and that was a chapter or what have you of GDUI, and that kind of thing. And I think Lua has six different chapters around the country.
Next Gen has a couple. Guide Dog Users too, and also. What used to be CCLVI, LVA, they have a few, throughout the country too. So there are some affiliates that are, but I think even if they don't have a statewide affiliate in their state, they could invite, people from those affiliates to talk about them at the state conventions. Right. Yeah.
Right. No, I think you're right. Great minds think alike. I guess that's us artists. Either that or historians like us. All right. Now, let me just ask one more time. Do we have anyone else representing an affiliate, whether it's state or special interest, or the awards committee? If we do, would you please raise your hand or speak up? Because I'm not seeing it on the list at this point. I could be missing someone. I don't think I am, but let me tell you a little bit about what we're doing starting next week. I received a request. Actually, I did, and Paul Edwards did for Tuesday Topics, from the Scholarship Committee, the ACB Scholarship Committee, just to get people to know some of our scholarship winners a little bit. And so starting next week, they've got a whole schedule set up of who's going to be on which call when. And we are going to have, I'm going to have two of our, this year's ACB scholarship winners that will be presenting at the, convention in St. Louis. One of them is an entering freshman from Virginia. And I think it's Massachusetts. One of them is Massachusetts. I knew I'd get myself in trouble. One's an entering freshman, and the other one is a third year PhD student doing his third year of his doctorate I think it's special education. And so I'll have the two of them on, and I believe Amanda Selm will be on to just kind of talk about the scholarship program. We will also have, I also currently have at least four presidents, that are going to be coming on from various affiliates, including Sharon Strakowski, who a lot of people know because she's not only now the new affiliate president of the Bay State Council of the Blind, she's also very heavily involved in a number of other affiliates, especially Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss. I think it's Lua or BRLA. I always forget which. I'm on both of their email lists. And so that's what's going to be. So we're going to be starting that next week through the month of June. I'll have two people on, not for the whole show by any means, but even like for 10 or 15 minutes, something like that. We'll have two of the scholarship winners. And they are a pretty amazing group. I've gone through the list and what they're majoring in and where they're from and which scholarship they're getting. And they are absolutely incredible people. I was really, really impressed with some of them. Excuse me. All right. Do we don't have, let's see, where are we? Just checking my, we're at 7:36. Okay. All right, we do have one more topic. Well, I shouldn't call it a topic. It's a topicless section. I wanted it to be about the last 20 minutes, and that's pretty much what we're heading for. If anyone else is here to talk about their affiliate or the awards committee, please raise your hand now so I can call on you, but I haven't seen any more hands go up. So for now, I think I'm going to move on, but do raise your hand if you want. And other than that, we're going to go into a conversation here. And what I want to do is kind of just do a bit of an open discussion of, you know, we've done quite a variety of calls lately. We had Scott Thornhill on as the executive director. We've had, we did the stuff about how do we all feel, how do various people feel about the future of the organization. And there's just been, it just seems like every week we've done something very different. And I've really kind of spent a lot more time this in the past week or two on having, I've had an opportunity, mostly because my computer was broken, to get on some more of our community calls and see who's, you know, what people are interested in and who, what things are going on. And I said, why am I not opening that up? That was one of the things we kind of did on our May celebration of our 6th anniversary. And I looked at the things that the shows that people liked very much, and that's why I immediately got a hold of Scott Thornhill, because about six people mentioned his name that night. But sometimes I just think that we, I don't want to say we're running on a treadmill, but I just wonder how different our lives are now than maybe 10 years ago or 20 years ago or however many years ago. And what we can do to not to fall into that everything's nice and easy pit. let somebody else do it for us. How do we re-energize ourselves? And I'm wondering if anybody has some ideas or thinks that there are or has an issue that they would like to talk about a problem that they're having or that they see that the community is, that the blindness community is having or a solution that they've come up with. That's what I really would like, is some of the solutions to some of the things. You know, I was on a call recently and somebody was talking about how they didn't like, as it turned out, they were regretting that they ever bought the Meta glasses, or the Ray-Bans, or which, you know, that type of those glasses. And because there's so much work. You know, you have to aim it right. You have to do. Have we become spoiled by the technology? You know, you keep hearing these commercials on the radio or TV or something for, get this internet provider or cell phone provider and have the same price for 5 years. And I said, but what is it going to look like in 5 years? What did it look like 5 years ago? 5 years ago, we thought the best thing on earth were, well, like, for instance, the Meta glasses. But now it's, well, yeah, those are pretty good, but it's easier to, you know, call Be My Eyes or Ira or something like that. You know, those of us remember back to DOS days and how much we fought and how much we hated the idea of graphic internet, graphic GUI, the graphic user internet in images. I'll get it right yet. And yet how totally dependent we've become on it since then. And how quickly do we take it? Does something become a part of us or a part of our lives that we are always looking for something more? Or I'm not even sure what the right word is. Does anybody have any comments on any of this besides my rambling about it, I guess, at this point? If you do, please unmute and raise your hand. And I don't know. It just seems to me that we just expect everything to everyone to come up with something newer and better. And, you know, like AI, I'm not convinced that AI is anything like as wonderful as some people say feel. I've used it for a number of things, and you know, a good number of the times it's accurate. Other times it's not. But you know, when we think about where we've come from, you know, from C:\, to the various and sundry levels of Windows, Windows 3 and Windows 7 and Windows 95. There was an oldie but a goodie. What do we want to see in the future? Is anybody still awake out there?
Oh, they're here. They just haven't raised their hands.
It seems that way. It does indeed. Okay, let's do this. Anybody that would like to talk about whatever they want to talk about, raise your hand and I'll call on you. I just heard a voice, but then it went away. Jesse, was that you, maybe?
Jesse, you're on mute, but we don't hear you.
Yeah, I'm not hearing anything from her. Jesse, you are unmuted.
Maybe your mic's muted on the other side.
I don't know.
So maybe she'll come back.
I don't know. Anybody want to talk about anything that they think that we might can come out and help you with some solutions to? Or anything that you've found a solution to yourself this week that might help someone else? I think everybody must be... Okay, I think we might be making, calling this a very early call tonight, because we're only at, we've still got 14 minutes left, and...
Hello, Terry?
Yes, hi.
I had a thought. I was just curious what everybody's thinking about filling out this goals thing for your affiliates. I know Ivy discussed it a little bit, and also I was thinking of the Colorado affiliate, and both of our affiliates are struggling with getting leadership and so forth. So it's kind of hard to work on a goals thing if you don't have enough leaders that can really pull new efforts forward. And I was wondering if that was the case with some other affiliates, if they're struggling how best to fill these forms out to even know how to get improvements for their affiliates. Because I know, like I said, Ivy has... We've got a lot of new members, but just trying to get more involvement is hard, and it's hard to think of this goals document when you can't get, much involvement. So I don't know if others, affiliates struggle with that as well.
It's a very good question. I think sometimes, the more contact, without going over the top, but the more contact that you have with your members, as a group, there's one thing to just have them connect with your membership chair or somebody who's checking in with them or something like that. And it's kind of on a one-on-one basis. I'm not sure it certainly doesn't help with a lot of growth. But I do think that you do make a good point. But I do believe that the more you have, the more you show people what you have to offer, and the more they can participate in it, the more they're going to. You can never, I learned way, way back as a kid, from my mother and my grandmothers who were all club people back in those days. Asking someone to volunteer to do something is about the last way you're going to get get someone to do it. But if you ask that person, could you do this for us? That's when you get them involved, and that's when they get active. And I have always been a firm believer in that. Until tonight, when nobody seems to want to get active on this call. But it's coming along. But I do think that that's, the more you can interact, and the more your members can interact with one another, the better. It is, and that's one of the things that is good about, we all moan and groan about how much email we get, but it is one way of keeping people in touch with each other, and it's, to me, I think it's better than like podcasts, in that you have the two-way communication going there that you don't have with just a recording or a podcast. Those are still good. They have their own place. Don't get me wrong, but the actual membership interaction, I think, is usually about the best way to get it. Does anyone else agree with me, or think I'm out in left field on that one?
And you do have a little less than 10 minutes.
We do. Let me tell you that next week we are going to have Annie Chupetta on from Friends in Art, because they've got some pretty cool things coming up. And we're having Sharon Strakowski on next week as the new president of Bay State Council. I think I had mentioned that earlier. And I'm trying to think who else is going to be on. We're going to have Zelda Gebhard is going to be on introducing us to the to Durwood K. McDaniel Durwood K. McDaniel First Timers. You know, there's one from the east of the Mississippi and one west of the Mississippi. And she will be on with them. She's chair of the DKM committee. She will be on with them. And I believe somebody's going to be on from the ACB Awards Committee, because I thought they were supposed to be on tonight. So I'll double check with them. And I guess they're going to be on next week. And I think I haven't looked at my email since we got on here. But I know there's a couple of other people of affiliates that, whoops, I just lost my email. A couple of other affiliates that are going to be on as well. And so I think it's going to work out pretty well next week. I really do. We've got a lot of people, just a lot of different things. I think I called it a triple header for next week. And with that, I hope you all enjoyed or had a very good Memorial Day weekend. And next week, I might cut us a little bit short because we're actually having our call next Friday night on my husband's birthday. So I guess I have to cook next Friday night. I usually try and end up with us having sub sandwiches or something on Friday nights, but I might actually have to cook next Friday night. So until then, again, thank you, Monica. Thank you, Herbie. And thank you to Lorraine and Artis and everyone else, who, those of you who have participated. And I hope that those of you who have been sitting here muted all night have learned a good bit. And again, if you want to get in touch with any of these affiliates and you don't have their information, just contact me at visibilities50@gmail.com. And with that, I'm going to wish you all a good week. And take care, and we'll see you next Friday night at 7 o'clock Eastern.
Listen to Audio Journal on your smart speaker. Just say, "Alexa, play radio station Audio Journal on TuneIn." Or, "Hey Google, play radio station Audio Journal on TuneIn."
This is Bird Note. And this is a sagebrush sparrow singing from atop a big sagebrush. As their name suggests, sagebrush sparrows live in dry, open shrublands. They winter in the desert southwest and migrate as far north as central Washington to breed each spring. About the size of a junco, sagebrush sparrows are dressed in soft grays and browns. You'll often spot these dapper birds singing from a high perch, making it easy to view the distinctive patch of dark feathers at the center of their otherwise white breast. Performance complete, the little bird hops back to the ground to forage for seeds and bugs with his flock. Look for them running rapidly about, with tails cocked up like scampering chipmunks. The sparrow's plaintive song seems to convey a sense of their precarious future in the West. Sagebrush sparrow populations have declined by more than 50% since 1970, largely due to habitat loss from urbanization, agricultural conversion, and wildfires. To support our remaining sagebrush sparrows, we have to protect the landscapes they call home. Learn more about sagebrush conservation at our website, birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein.
WICN Public Radio is a proud partner of Audio Journal. Audio Journal provides news, information, and entertainment to visually and print-impaired residents of central Massachusetts. Audio Journal broadcasts are made possible through the use of a portion of WICN's broadcast frequency. 90.5 WICN is Worcester's only NPR affiliate and the voice of arts and culture in central Massachusetts. Visit WICN.org for more info.
Welcome to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal. Our poem today is The Jewel by Eugene Field. On the 11th of July, 1804, was the date of the notorious duel between American politicians Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton. Burr was then Vice President of the United States. Hamilton was Secretary of the Treasury. Their rivalry was fierce and famous, and after a series of public exchanges, Burr challenged Hamilton to an affair of honor, pistols at dawn. Burr killed Hamilton and was charged with murder, though the charges were later dropped. Eugene Field's duel is an altogether more humorous affair. Through gossip told by household objects, the story is narrated of a great fight between a cat and a dog. The gingham dog and the calico cat side by side on the table sat. 'Twas 12:30, and what do you think? Nor one nor t'other had slept a wink. The old Dutch clock and the Chinese plate appeared to know as sure as fate there was going to be a terrible spat. I wasn't there, I simply state what was told to me by the Chinese plate. The gingham dog went bow, wow, wow, and the calico cat replied, meow. The air was littered an hour or so with bits of gingham and calico, while the old Dutch clock in the chimney place, up with its hands before its face, for it always dreaded a family row. Now mind, I'm only telling you what the old Dutch clock declares is true. The Chinese plate looked very blue and wailed, oh dear, what shall we do? But the gingham dog and the calico cat wallowed this way and tumbled that, employing every tooth and claw in the awfulest way you ever saw. And oh, how the gingham and calico flew! Don't fancy I exaggerate. I got my news from the Chinese plate. Next morning, where the two had sat, they found no trace of dog or cat, and some folks think unto this day that burglars stole that pair away. But the truth about the cat and pup is this. They ate each other up. Now what do you really think of that? The old Dutch clock, it told me so, and that is how I came to know. You've been listening to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal and read by me, Nikki Whichelow. Thanks for listening, and may your life be filled with poetic wonder.
Did you know ADA paratransit riders in Worcester, Auburn, Boylston, Leicester, Northboro, Oxford, Westboro, and West Boylston now have the option to schedule trips through the Worcester Regional Transit Authority's new online reservation system? Call customer service at 508-791-9782 or email paratransit at thertA.com to begin scheduling your trip online.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.